The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, everyone. We are back at it after the brief holiday break. It is a game day once again for the San Jose Sharks, who take on the Vancouver Canucks tonight at 7 o'clock from Rogers Arena. Pre-game coverage, as you would imagine, is at 6:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. I am on the color commentary tonight with the Hall of Famer Dan Ruzanowski and hoping that I can be the good luck charm as opposed to the bad luck charm that I am blaming myself for the 7-2 loss that the Sharks suffered the other night against Vegas. But I think it's important to acknowledge that while watching the guys get onto the bus today, while seeing them at morning skate, all of these things, you could tell that they were moved on and beyond what was a rough night against Vegas. And I'm not here to excuse the performance or anything to that effect, but I think they all acknowledge that they were A, not good enough, but B, that they need to forget about it and move on. The most important thing in professional sports is to have a bad memory. The last game is the last game. And the Vancouver Canucks, they go up against a team that has been under great change as of late. The trade of Quinn Hughes being the biggest story in the NHL, arguably this year, at least the biggest trade that I can remember in quite some time. And from the standpoint of the Minnesota Wild, I like it because it's aggressive. It's what Doug Wilson would have done back in the day. But I also like it from the perspective of Vancouver, who rapidly saw a situation that was deteriorating, and they made moves to plan for a future. And I think that the pieces they got back in return allowed them to have an opportunity for the future. So, you know, you have a couple of different storylines going on entering this game. You know, Vancouver's kind of in a weird spot right now where they're trying to figure out what team they're going to be, maybe not necessarily sooner rather than later, but they're trying to at least have a better season than they were on pace for. Right now they are 15-18-3 on the year. Compare that with the San Jose Sharks, who are 17-7-3. So all these things we take into consideration with what we're looking at with these teams. But for San Jose, they want to put an end to a three-game losing streak after they had a three-game win streak. And I know that there is some relative consternation surrounding that, but if the Sharks are a 500 hockey team, that's a step in the right direction. That's a huge step for what they need to be, what they are aspiring to be. I know that everyone right now is of the mindset where it's playoffs, 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 playoffs. But at the same time, you have to pay attention to the fact that the Sharks are still coming out of the rebuild. Now, maybe it's not as deep in the rebuild as it was previously, but this is still a team that is figuring things out. This is still a team that is learning. We talked to head coach Ryan Warsawski after today's morning skate, and one of the things that he consistently brought up was teaching winning habits. And he talked about how some of the guys on this squad have been around losing far too much, and they need to get those things out of their system. And it's understandable. I don't think that that's just a thing that happens overnight where a guy figures out, oh, well, this is how we win. That's what we do here. Like, no, it takes time. The guy's got to figure it out. They have to develop winning habits. It sounds maybe on the outside relatively cliched, but I think there is a reality that where these guys have to figure out how they take that next step, how they put themselves in a position to have that greater level of success. So, you know, these are the things that I'm looking forward to and excited about. But I also know that I can't get ahead of myself, just like the Sharks can't get ahead of themselves. They can't just start focusing on the playoffs when they haven't proven themselves as a team that can even be in that conversation consistently. Have they had a decent start to the season? Most definitely. Have they had some ups and downs? Most definitely. Have they had some fun performances? Yeah, of course. They've had a lot of fun so far this year, but they've also had some tough losses. They've had Vegas the other night, right? They had a game against Dallas that they want to forget. They had a game against Washington that they want to forget. These are all parts of the process of becoming a successful team in the National Hockey League, and it just doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's, you know, some of the things that I'm paying attention to and watching this team and see how they turn into a consistent winning team as opposed to a streaky team. I love the win streaks. Love it. Can't argue with that anytime it happens. But I also want to see them consistently winning 3 out of 4, 3 out of 5, 5 out of 8, 7 out of 9, things to that extent. As we look at what I saw during morning skate today and what I think the lines are going to be, Eklund up on that first line. That was one of the adjustments we saw during the third period against Vegas. He'll be with Celebrini and Chernyshov. Second line looked like it was going to be Wenberg with Graf and Toffoli on the wings. The third line looked like it's going to be Dellandrea, Gaudette, and Skinner. And then the fourth line, Reeves, Gaudreau, and Ostapchuk. So, you know, those lines all had moments during the game against Vegas where I think we saw some positivity, but I also think that they also need to make a little bit of a change to what they've been doing as of late, and that's to be expected when you do have three consecutive losses on the table like the way the Sharks do right now. That's the first time they've had three straight losses since that first stretch of the year when they went 0-4-2, and you can't just keep on running the same thing out there and expecting things to change. You have to make changes. As for the D pairings, don't know exactly what those are going to be. We'll obviously find that out when the game starts. Askarov was the first off the ice, so that it seems to imply that he will be the starter tonight. And I think that if you look at how ticked off head coach Ryan Warsawski was after the game the other night and the way the team did not play in front of Askarov nor Nedeljkovic, that he wants to get Asky out there again and get him in and have a good performance because he knows that he is the future of the franchise. He has to perform at a very high level. He has to be ready to go. He has to be given these opportunities where the team plays good in front of him. And it's not fair to him to go out there and have four goals that he had no possibility of stopping, or at least a very, very low percentage of being able to stop those. That was not on Askarov. That was on the team around him. And I know the guys want to give him a better showing as well, but you know, he was in a good mood at morning skate. All the guys were in a good mood at morning skate. I think that's the important thing to see, is these guys forget about the bad loss and get ready for the next game. That's how you have success in the NHL. You don't dwell on the negative. You rectify mistakes and you get ready for the next game. Ryan Warsawski, he's not losing any sleep over that game, or at least he's not showing it outwardly. I'm sure he was ticked off at the time. I'm sure he hated the loss. I'm sure that's, as a coach, one of the most frustrating things you can come across. But he moved on with it. He had his kids to distract him, he said, with the Christmas holiday, and not pay attention to any of the results that may have happened recently. And he's ready and got his team ready to go. And again, I point to the attitude of all the guys that I've seen today, whether it was on the plane, whether it was a morning skate, whether it was on the walk back to the hotel. At the hotel, these guys seem ready and raring to go, and that's exactly what you want to see. And I'm excited for all of them to get that opportunity, have that bounce back performance, because that's what they all want. They want to bounce back. They want to be a better team, to perform better than what they showed the other night against Vegas. And we also have to acknowledge that Vegas, even with the injuries they have, they are still a very deep, dangerous, seasoned, heavy team that the Sharks simply are not as of yet. They hope to get there. Again, I use this phrase over and over, sooner rather than later, but it takes time. It takes time. Whether we're talking about the young players, whether we're talking about some of the veterans on the team, they're figuring it out in the NHL and with this team. We're still only a small number of games into the careers of Macklin Celebrini, right? Of Yaroslav Askarov, of Sam Dickinson, of Shakir Mukhmudulin, and Will Smith is hurt right now. Colin Graf, you know, he's having a great start to his season, but he's barely played, 80 games over the course of his NHL career, and I'm not sure that he actually has off the top of my head. And I paused and did a quick check. He played 33 games last year, 7 games at the end of the 23 season, and this year he has played 36 games. So that is 76 games in his NHL career. He's not played a huge number of games. And again, like I said, they're missing Will Smith. They're missing Phil Kurashev. So, this is a team that still does not have experience as a whole on their side. Now, the veterans, the Tyler Toffolis, the Barclay Goodrows, the Ryan Reeves, these guys, they've been there to an extent and they've done that so they can help, shuttle things along. But again, it doesn't just happen overnight. But these are all topics that I got into with Hall of Fame announcer Dan Ruzanowski a little bit earlier today at Morning Skate. This is what we had to say. All right, we are here at Rogers Arena as we're getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Vancouver Canucks. And Dan, what I was thinking of as we got into the building a little bit earlier is how quickly things can change. The excitement levels around this Canucks franchise just a few short seasons ago was through the roof. They had an incredible regular season. They go game 7 with Edmonton in the conference semifinals, and then it all falls apart last year. There's public spats. The coach decides to take his talents elsewhere. They just traded their star defenseman. It doesn't take long in the NHL, and change, as the saying goes, is the constant.
Well, a little change will do you some good, and maybe the Canucks are thinking that, as they made a major change to their organization by picking up Zeev Bouyim from the Minnesota Wild. He's the main piece in the puzzle. But let's not forget about Liam Ogren and Marco Rossi, a couple of guys that adds to their depth. Funny thing is, they've had a lot of injury problems. You know, on the ice today, Philip Chytil for Vancouver, he's had concussion problems his entire career. His career, in a way, is in jeopardy. He's a very skilled player. Elias Pettersson is coming back into the lineup tonight, but he's been missing a bunch of games with injuries. And so getting somebody like Ogren, who's big and strong and young, and, you know, and Rossi, who's a good playmaker and somebody that can make other people better around him, I think, along with Bouyim, is giving a little shot in the arm of energy and hopefulness for the team. And that's something that makes them a very challenging club. I mean, you know, winners in four of their last five games. This is a team that it's going to be interesting to see how they develop, because right now they're right at the bottom of the standings in the Pacific Division, but it's so darn close that only a couple of games in a row will get you into that spot. And the Sharks had better think about that tonight, since they've lost three straight games coming into tonight's action. They need to find a way to get things done here on the road.
Three straight losses after three straight wins, indicative of where the Sharks are, a hockey or NHL 500 at this point. And it almost feels like a disappointment, Dan, to a lot of people, the way they're talking about this, whereas the juxtaposition of a year ago, when they would go on 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 game losing streaks or longer, shows you how much has changed. And I think that's a big reason why this team feels like the pressure is on to stop this at three games after that very bad loss against Vegas the other night.
Those losses are going to happen, and I think, you know, sometimes the timing of those are not exactly perfect, which I'd say this one certainly was that. But, you know, the expectation comes because of the excitement around Macklin Celebrini and around Will Smith and around all of these young players that are making significant contributions at the NHL level right now. So that's what we're dealing with here, and I think it's just a fascinating process, yet it's also good to see the pressure start to come, too, because these players need to get pushed. They need to be better. They need to realize that just being a little bit better, being a 500 team, is not good enough, and they're going to have to get to 96, 97 points every season minimum to get into the playoffs. That's the goal. Right now, they're still in that conversation, and you know what? If they're in the conversation on January 1st after these next three games, I think that'll be a step forward. So I'm not taking it in the attitude to say, oh, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs or anything like that. I'm saying let's take these incremental steps forward, continue to be in the conversation, make sure that you're within striking distance or in a playoff spot, and I think that's where the Sharks have been most of the year. So far, mission accomplished, but the mission has a lot of chapters left to go on it.
Speaking of pressure, while this is not Macklin Celebrini's first rodeo in Vancouver, where he has hometown ties to, whenever he is in a Canadian city, there are more eyeballs. The microscope becomes all that much more of a reality for him, of course, as we get closer and closer to the Olympics and Team Canada making announcements that everyone's getting very, very excited for. But for Macklin Celebrini, I'm sure that he feels at this point of his young career that the onus is somewhat on him to be a big part of the response after his team has a bad loss.
That's the kind of responsibility this young man has always taken. He's got great leadership capabilities, amazing for a 19-year-old as far as I'm concerned. You know, the fact that he's always pretty much the first back checker back when the team loses the puck is impressive, that he pays so much attention to it. Adam Foote was just talking about it, the coach of the Canucks. He said that basically he's like a judo expert, the way that he uses the body that he has to best advantage, because he's not the biggest guy in the league. He's not necessarily the fastest guy in the league, but he's one of the smartest guys in the league, and that's the one way you can be better than everybody else.
This team is dealing with injury still, but it looks like Adam Gaudette's going to slot back into the lineup tonight. What have you seen from him this year? Because I did not know his game that well, other than that I knew he was a good player, but I've really liked what he brings. Of course, he's got that collegiate experience, Hobey Baker winner. He knows how to get it done. He's a consistent player that you can count on in your lineup.
Well, he's kind of a Swiss Army knife. You can plug him into several different types of positions, and he can fill that role. You want him to kill penalties? Okay. You want him to win faceoffs at center? Okay. You want him to play on the wing? Either side? Great. You want him to be on the third line? You want him to be? You want him to play 10 minutes a game on the fourth line? You want him to fill in on the top line? He can do all of that, and I think that's just a nice option. And I think the coaching staff is just getting to know him a little bit better. I don't think they were totally sure what they got when he arrived on the scene at training camp, but I think they're relying on him a little bit more and more. And I think that there may have been a question as to, you know, what kind of physical shape he was in. He has had injuries in his career, but I've always liked him. I remember when he was in Chicago. I liked the way he played. Ottawa, 19 goals last year, mm-hmm. and he's got some playoff experience from that Ottawa first round that I think is really going to help this team even in the regular season. So it's good to see him back, and it'll be interesting to see how he does tonight against the team he used to play for, because remember, the last time these two teams played, he got the game winner.
Colin Graf is in the bubble still, however, just in a few days since we last saw him, it looks like he's healing up nicely. You know, his game, Dan, just continues to evolve, and there were some people that said, well, he's playing on Celebrini's wing, to which he put maybe not to rest, but showed it maybe doesn't matter because he scored a goal playing it with Alex Wenberg's line in the previous game against Vegas when Coach Warsawski made some changes. But again, he just continues to improve, evolve before our eyes, and watching a young player like Graf, it's part of the fun with the Sharks team, because with so many young players, there's so many new storylines, it seems like game after game, week after week.
It's a really good storyline, and of course, he's got, what, 7 goals in his last 9 games? I think he's doing a really good job in being in position. You know, this gets back to another factor that comes with Celebrini, too. You can be smarter than somebody, and you can have all of the other skills you need, but you have to have that competitive fire. And mm-hmm. Colin Graf's got that. And it's really interesting to see, because Stillwater's run deep. You go mm-hmm. talk to him, and he's got a very calm personality. He doesn't seem like he's that kind of a guy. And then he gets on the ice, and boy, I'll tell you what, he's in position. But it's that competitive fire that gets him possession. It gets him in defensive positioning. And it gets him on the score sheet.
He definitely does not run hot. He's not a high-rev guy, but he's always ready to go when he's out there on the ice. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Tyler Toffoli, who has a very, very laid-back mentality, but obviously when he's out there on the ice, he brings it every single time. And, you know, Tyler Toffoli is another guy I think this team's going to be leaning on as they get deeper into this season and his scoring and what he can bring, just because this is when things really do start picking up in the NHL on the other side of the Christmas break.
Well, Tyler Toffoli had that 4-point game recently, and obviously that came at a really opportune time for the Sharks, and he's somebody that I think is just going to be relied on throughout his contract, you know, for his leadership, for his ability to come up when it really matters the most. I think these are all factors that get involved.
Looks like Yaroslav Askarov is making his way as the first one off the ice tonight. How much do you think he's in a hurry to forget about what happened the other night?
I think he's forgotten about it already. I think he had a nice Christmas. I think he understood that the reason why he got yanked from the game was not because of him.
No.
It was because of what was going on in front of him. The coaches told him that. So I have no concerns about him whatsoever. He's an up-and-coming number one goaltender. I don't care what anybody says. This guy is going to be a good goalie for a long time.
No, but you know those goalies do take it personally. They feel they should stop every single shot, and he probably is thinking about the ones that he was not able to get to. But I think that that's just a lot of the mentality of where this team is heading into this game. Just hearing some of the chatter from the guys, you can tell they're excited to get back at it.
Yep, it's always exciting to see it, and this is going to be a good one. Games after Christmas are weird. Weird things generally happen because the guys haven't practiced for a few days. That's for both sides. And, you know, we had a 7:30 a.m. flight this morning. That's an interesting little addition with coming across the border and so forth. And so that's going to make things fascinating. And, you know, Vancouver, in the last 5 times they've had a game right after Christmas at home, they've won them all. So this is the first game that Zeev Bouyim and Liam Ogren and Marco Rossi are going to play in front of their home fans since the trade. The Canucks have been on the road since then. Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be some emotion tonight. There's going to be some chatter. There's going to be some body checking. It's going to be great.
As I was chatting with you earlier, Dan, people talk so much about the Leafs and their fan base, but these Canucks fans are always ready to go and make this an imposing place to play. And you just referenced the emotion with those guys coming over from the trade. Do you think Ryan Warsawski addresses some of the similarities they might have to be facing in the first 10 minutes here, even if it's not as talented a team as Vegas?
Yeah, I think they'll probably talk about it. I think that Warsawski's a guy that really focuses on the process for his team. And I think that they'll talk about having to deal with a storm in the beginning, some emotion. But the fact that very next shift, even after giving up a goal, is so very important. That's something they didn't have in the game against Vegas, mm-hmm. and it's something they have to get back.
All right, well, I think that'll just about wrap it up for us, Dan. But what are some final thoughts for you heading into tonight's game?
Well, first of all, I hope everybody had a great Christmas. I did. I know that my wife and I had a very enjoyable day. The time off is very good for the mind, but now it's time to get the mind and the body synced up. And that's what the Sharks are looking to do in these three games, as I mentioned, this game against the Canucks, then following up with the game in Anaheim, and then the New Year's Eve game in the afternoon against Minnesota. Those are all going to be tough games to win. And so they've got to be mentally prepared, and here's hoping that they are.
You won't have to get the 9:30 table like last year on New Year's Eve.
That's no.
The Hall of Famer, Dan Rusinowski. Dan, thank you so much. Have a great call tonight. I will see you soon.
See you soon, Ted. Thanks.
All right, that's it for today's edition of The Buildup. We are out of time. Join us 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tonight, go time on the Sharks Audio Network as San Jose visits Vancouver. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.